And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before. We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What he did in Sacramento last week, at that time, the Nets had lost, I believe, five or six in a row. Durant was obviously out. They were playing in Sacramento. That's a game they got to win for about five different reasons. And just to frame this, James Harden, until he heard
his heart, how the music can free her whenever it starts and it's magic if the music is
true. It's a different instance of what?
Does it tell you something deeper about your team compared to...
Yeah, it tells we ain't on their level.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
I don't know about the reports.
Do you enjoy New York City?
Yeah.
Lying motherfucker.
Machine is never wrong, son.
Fuck, man.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Come up on the show, Harden for Simmons in the deal zone. End of an era in Portlandia. What are the Kings doing? Help is wanted in Los Angeles and all-star competition predictions. Happy Pizza Day. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoy's producing in this corner. From the there's a typo here, Jade. It says from the hard streets. I'll clear it up. From the weak streets of Springfield, Mass. Celtics reporter and future author of the book Mr. Softy: A Guide to Growing Up in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. It's Jay, the Kid of Peloton King. Jay, best movie featuring Boston as the setting ever.
Good Will Hunting, and it's not even really close. That's by far the best one. There's a lot of overrated movies.
I'm just glad you didn't say The Departed, because you're right. No. Good Will Hunting's so much better.
So much better. The Departed, the last scene when the rat walks by is just so dumb.
And let me just throw this out there,
when Jack Nicholson is going...
Jay, let me throw this
out
there.
With the little rat, fake rat shit, like, that's so bad.
The Town, better movie than The Departed.
Absolutely.
I'll say it right now.
Absolutely. Better movie. It's not even close. Yeah. It's not even close.
Yeah, that's not even controversial.
Some people will be, oh, The Departed's so great, man. Watch Jack Nicholson in that. He mails that thing in. You got to be kidding me. All right.
When he was doing the rat thing,
oh, it's
man,
awful.
Like,
it's awful.
I just wanted to laugh.
The Town is hella good. Oh, man.
The Town's great. I just watched it again a couple weeks ago, man. That still bangs. What a great
movie. Watched it thinking it was about Oakland and still was entertained.
Well, speaking of, in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors back when they were in Oakland, and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed in the NBA forever, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, best movie featuring San Francisco or Oakland ever?
Hold on, did you just ask me about a movie in San Francisco?
I'm just reading the script. I'm just Ron Burgundy
out here. The internship. Man, first off, the answer for Boston
is... I love
is,
the internship.
I know.
I watched it way too many times.
It's a good movie. I mean, if we go to San Francisco, I'm going Pursuit of Happiness.
That's a good one.
Or Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Oh, that's a great movie.
But, Pursuit of Happiness was just such a drag. Like, there was no moment of joy in that movie. It was just sadness.
Did you not see the end? Did you not see the end?
Yeah, I did see the end. Like, I got to the end, but most of it is just heart wrenching.
That's how we are out here. Because these ain't the soft streets. It's hard out here.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
This ain't Longmeadow.
Poetic Justice. Best movie set in Oakland. I'm going with
it. Ooh, okay. I'm going with Poetic Justice. All right.
Since he went with the obvious Good Will Hunting for Boston, I'm going with Spotlight as my answer for Boston. Oh,
God. Spotlight's pretty good. Spotlight's pretty good.
No.
We're watching it in my journalism class. Come on.
Of course. No, what I couldn't stand
is you're really trying not to teach.
Spotlight comes out. No, that's a good teacher move, though. Spotlight comes out. It wins the Academy Award. And then every sports journalist out there on the internet is like, oh, what a triumph for journalism. We're doing sports journalism, all right? That's not the same thing.
We definitely don't count. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this doesn't count. All right, you breaking that Marcus Smart is coming back from an ankle injury doesn't quite qualify as what Spotlight was going through. Okay,
although writing it seems like a similar journey toward my puff pieces.
I'll tell you what, the passions of Boston fans rival.
That's true. It's true. It does rival that. All right. Speaking of journalism, Jade, start the clock. Take one. It's the Deal Zone. Broadcasting note, we're recording this on Wednesday, 24 hours before the trade deadline. So if you're tuning in, chances are James Harden is now a Philadelphia 76er and Ben Simmons is a Brooklyn Net. And this long nightmare has finally come to an end. But as of now, whispers of a blockbuster deal between Philly and Brooklyn are getting louder. During an appearance on ESPN's Get Up, they dropped the exclamation point. During an appearance on ESPN's Get Up, Brian Windhorst said things are trending in the direction of a Nets 76ers deal. Jade, play the tape.
Yeah, so the teams are absolutely engaged in trade discussions. I know that there's people saying things on the record, trying to act like that's not happening, but it is absolutely happening. There is definite motivation from both sides to make this to fall into place. The Sixers were out there yesterday having trade negotiations with other teams, looking to clear roster spots, looking to move other players on their roster, including Tobias Harris. We are in right now, as far as I can tell, Greeny, we're in the deal zone.
That's right, folks. According to Windhorst, the sides are in the deal zone. I believe this is one step above the friend zone. If you're in the deal zone, you're sealing the deal. If you're in the friend zone, enjoy that ride to the airport.
This is what Harden wants. Do we know if this is what Kevin Durant wants?
Greeny,
yeah.
I can't tell you how much James Harden wants this.
Really?
You got to be very careful using the Q word. His actions over the last like 10 days are basically a threat to the Nets.
Windhorst alluded to some sticking points for Philadelphia. Brooklyn also wants two or three pieces in addition to Simmons, including players and draft picks. Marcus, I want you to get that deal crystal ball out one more time. Help us predict what will happen over the next 24 hours. Will James Harden be a 76er once the trade deadline expires?
I know as much as everybody else, which is absolutely nothing. But I'm going with yes.
Oh,
but here's a little nice little wrinkle.
Give me a record scratch there, Jade.
I know, right? guess who puts a little spice into the situation? There's one guy from Oakland who could end up with Joel Embiid if James Harden doesn't make this happen right now.
Oh,
and I know there's a part of Philly that's like, we can get him next year. We can get him in the offseason. He's not re-signing. But then what if Dame comes calling? And Dame says, you know what? I'm out of Portland. And then, you know, it's almost like, hey, man, you taking my seat, bro. And Dame's under contract. So if Dame goes now, that's it. So Harden's got to get he's got to pull the trigger now. He's already doing a kind of slow play. I'm not going to care about the season. I'm a kind of tank. Right now, he's got to speed this thing up because Dame's sitting over there.
Well, that's the thing. Like in Sam Amick's article, like the Sixers are confident they'll just sign James Harden outright. With what cap space, Jay? Like, where is the? They got Tobias Harris for $40 billion. They got Ben Simmons for $40 billion. Like, there's no cap space here. They can posture, and I know things happen. Like we saw Jimmy Butler work his way to Miami when they didn't have any cap space. Obviously, things can happen, but this confidence, man, I don't know about that.
I don't know what will happen here. I don't know where Simmons will go. I don't know where Harden will go.
Make a prediction, you coward.
I do know Daryl Morey has played this perfectly. 5 months ago, 4 months ago, whatever it was, people thought Ben Simmons was useless. His own coach thought he was useless. The best player on his team thought he was useless. And now, months later, there are people saying that man, the Nets should trade for him and give up Harden to get him. And it would be a good trade for the Nets. Morey has just been sitting waiting for people to forget about what Ben Simmons was like the last time he was on the court in that playoff series against the Hawks. And I think he's waited long enough. People are actually looking at Ben Simmons as like this big, big positive.
He is.
And he is a big, big positive. But this is James Harden. It's still James Harden. And I know he hasn't been quite Harden. I know he hasn't played up to his normal level. And I know he's getting older and that's not going to change. But man, it's still James Harden. And there is still a wide gap between him and Ben Simmons.
It sounds like something where people say, hey, man, it's still Russell Westbrook, you know? Still Russ, like, still Mr. Triple-Double.
Don't put
Mr.
that evil on Harden.
Hey, man, James Harden keeps playing with one hamstring. It might look like that.
Don't put that evil
are
on
you,
Harden.
But, all right, are you worried, Jay? Are you worried about the wear and tear on James Harden at this point? And maybe it won't be as bad and as necessary when you have him next to Joel Embiid, just like it's not as bad as necessary when you have him next to Kevin Durant. But are you worried about, like, maybe his body is starting to break down?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question his body is starting to break down. If I was signing him to his next contract, I'd be petrified. Mm-hmm. But given where the Nets are, they need to win now. Yeah. And, like, I think because of what everything that's happened with Kyrie, like, you know that things can change very quickly in the NBA. And they have Kevin Durant, who's win now. They have Kyrie, who's win now. They have Harden, who's win now. Mm-hmm. And, like, Harden gives them the best chance to win now. And I don't think that's really close compared to Ben Simmons.
Marcus, in terms of the James Harden situation, if you were Philadelphia and Brooklyn is just steadfast, like, no, we need more than just Ben Simmons. We need some pieces around that. Are you willing to give those up if it ultimately gets you James Harden and Daryl Morey, or James Harden with Joel Embiid under Daryl Morey? Or are you going to try to say, like, well, we can just get him in the summer. We're not worried about this.
I'm going to get Dame. I'm not about to get Felice. But look, if you're Philly, you definitely hold the cards, though. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn is sinking. Like, they're going to be a play-in team. Like, think about that. They were just top of the East.
Yeah.
They're about to be a play-in team. They're going to need Kevin Durant to come back and save them from disaster. Like, that's literally what they're going to need.
Like they always do.
like they always do. I'm worried about James Harden. I agree with you, Jay. I feel like, I mean, he's perfect with Embiid, right? The Harden we have in our mind is perfect with Embiid, especially if they can somehow keep Seth Curry. You know, and you got another shooter to kind of give you that corner or that triangle kind of feel. Like, James Harden's going to find all those guys. Mm-hmm. But, man, like, his field goal percentage is way down. His turnover rate is way up. He just doesn't look. If you're Brooklyn, you need to pull this trigger now. You need to get this done because it's not for now. It's for the next 3 years. Remember, Kevin Durant re-signed. You got Kevin Durant for 4 more years. You got to think about the whole 4 years, whereas Philly can just think about right now. If I'm Philly, I'm not going all in, because in the end, I could go try to get another player who's younger. And Brooklyn needs this deal. We're getting to that point where Brooklyn needs this deal. Can you imagine if all three of them come back next year? Like
they feel like the Lakers last year, don't they? Where you can just convince yourself, like, all they need to do is get to the playoffs healthy. And number one, like, they may not get there healthy. Number
but that's
two,
the pipe dream,
they
right?
may not be good enough even if they do get there healthy.
I think they'd be good enough if they get there healthy. I just don't think you can
as long as as long as Kevin Durant's healthy, I'll believe.
Yeah.
If Kevin Durant's healthy, you can put him out there with a bunch of bums, and I'll believe that he's able to at least
get them.
Well,
they will be putting him out there with a bunch of bums.
They will. They will. All right.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
When that happens, you go over to theathletic.com where I will be grading all these trades. Speaking of, take two! Trade grades! Meanwhile, around the NBA, some teams have decided not to wait for 3 p.m. Eastern Thursday deadline to make things happen. As many expected, the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum era ended in Portland with McCollum heading to New Orleans to play for the Pelicans to pair with Brandon Ingram and hopefully eventually Zion Williamson. For the record, the Blazers have made the playoffs every season since the team drafted McCollum in 2013. Yet, postseason glory has eluded the Blazers. The team advanced to the conference finals only once and suffered 5 first-round exits. Pelicans are sending out guards Josh Hart, Tomas Satoransky, Nikhil Alexander Walker, and Didi Luzada in the deal, and a protected first-round pick and 2 second-round picks going to Portland. Portland also sends, with McCollum, Larry Nance Jr. and Tony Snell. Speaking to NBA.com, Damian Lillard said, "We both knew that this would be coming, but don't make that no easier to deal with. Jay, let's start with the Blazers slowly putting new pieces around Dame. According to The Athletic's Jason Quick, got to imagine more moves are ahead, moves that could render this podcast pretty irrelevant within the next 24 hours. But, you know, what can you do? We got a schedule. They got a deadline. It just shit happens there. Jay, who came out ahead in this Portland-New Orleans deal?
I'm not sold either team really won this one.
What?
That
you just
said,
handed out 2 L's, huh?
What?
That said, I'm just happy the Blazers are doing something. Like, it has been so long that they've been sitting in purgatory thinking, you know, we're going to become a contender, even though they really didn't have a chance to become that contender. And finally, they're doing something. Finally, they are breaking up a duo in Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum that was great but flawed enough to prevent them from ever winning anything of substance. And so whatever the next step is, whether it's building around Dame, whether it's breaking it all up and turning toward a future with Anthony Simons, I'm just happy the Blazers are doing something. Like, I don't know what McCollum will really help in New Orleans.
He's good. Like, what are you talking about? They have Devontae Graham starting right now. Like,
he'll make them a lot better. Don't get me wrong. But over there, it's all about Zion Williamson and whatever the heck is happening with him. And CJ, age-wise, isn't really a fit with Zion. And so, to me, I would be taking a more patient approach if I were the Pelicans and probably trying to get worse and not going out and just getting the first star name that I could get. So I don't love the deal for them, but he will certainly make them a lot better and more formidable. And him with Ingram and Zion, you can at least like try to talk yourself into that, I guess, if Zion gets healthy.
Marcus, I actually don't agree really with anything that Jay just said, but I don't agree with the timeline aspect of it. Of like, I don't think you want all your players to be the same age.
17 years old. Yeah,
I think you want a mix of veterans and guys kind of cycling in and out around that. I love the idea of Dame or of CJ as that Dame role now on a different team of like, you get to be the lead guard. We have Brandon Ingram next to you. It's not like when we were throwing, you know, Mo Harkless out there, or Al Farouq Aminu out there as the wing. Hopefully you'll get Zion back at some point.
Mo Harkless didn't deserve that.
This at least.
Yes, he kind of did.
Mo Harkless, friend of NBA radio. At least with this, you know, this puts them probably in the driver's seat to win the play-in or to be in the play-in tournament and then maybe hopefully make a little bit of noise as they get those young guys some experience.
But is that what you're playing for?
This year, with no Zion? Absolutely. That's a huge win with no Zion.
And Josh Hart is good. That's the other part of this.
CJ's better.
Well, yeah, but like, Josh Hart is good.
This is good for New Orleans. This is great for New Orleans.
Wait, just Marcus, real quick. I want you to remember that comment from Jay about 4.5 minutes from now when we get to Tyrese Halliburton and the everything that went through Sacramento with that reaction. Just remember that Jay just said in a CJ McCollum trade, yeah, but Josh Hart is good. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
I like this for New Orleans. I like the veteran mixed with the youngsters. I like going for the best you can get right now. You don't have to put together the perfect team. You can take the steps. You know, I know it's not the same. I know he's not on that level, but this is what the Warriors got Andre Iguodala. They got a grown-up to put in the room, right? They got somebody who had been through some stuff and could help these guys along. And he obviously wasn't the star player he used to be, but that stuff mattered. I do think Brandon Ingram needs a CJ. Zion needs a CJ. If nothing else, he can show those dudes how to be pros. And to me, that's a great role for CJ McCollum, right? Like, that's a good position for him to be in. And obviously, he's still young enough. He can produce. He still got another deal, and he still could end up on a championship team at some point. But this period of his career, if he can just help those dudes be good and show them what the playoffs is like, show them what it takes to win basketball games in the NBA, to me, that's great. I think that's good. For Portland, I mean, I like it because, like, Jay, they had to do something, but it feels like when I got them, I got some off-white Jordan 1s, the Chicago ones, right? Mm-hmm. And I was so juiced, I was wearing them jokers out, right? And a year later, I look online and they're like $2,000. And I'm like, I should have sold. Like, what was I doing? I'm like wearing them like an idiot. So now I can't, they're dog, like I done dog these things, right? That's the Blazers. It's like, if they had traded him at the end of 2019, after they lost in the Western Conference Finals, they would have got way more for him then, back when it was Dame and CJ, and are they among the best backcourt? So they're selling really low, but we were talking to Billy King on Hoops Adjacent, and he brought up an interesting point that
self-call.
They're selling the team. So this could be a part of getting the salary down and helping the sale. So once you start putting all that stuff in it, then it ain't even about like the fit and basketball and all that. It's just about, get the deal done.
Yeah, I do like Josh Hart as a role player. I do like Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I think he's going to develop into a nice player there. I like throwing him next to Anfernee Simons. Like, I think that will eventually be a better situation than what he had to go through in New Orleans with no Zion. So they got a first round pick.
This ain't good for Dame. They better do something or get Dame out of there.
It's good for Dame because now he can be like, hey, check please. I'd like to bounce on this one.
That's what I'm saying.
If you look at the Blazers now, they're going to have their own pick, which will be really good.
Yeah.
They might get another lottery pick from this. Like, no matter what they choose to do, if it's build around Dame or otherwise, like, they suddenly have the pieces to do it and the flexibility to do it.
Finally,
and I think that's what's important for them. Like, forget who they're getting. And some of the players are pretty good. They may not have gotten enough draft capital, but when you look at it, like, finally they stripped it down and finally they have options.
After years of not, right? Offering Kaminu was going to be the answer, right? Like,
Al didn't deserve that straight there. Come on. That's not fair.
Yes, he did.
Let's get to the J. King reaction. Take three. Why did the Kings just trade away their best young player? In other trade news, gentlemen, the Sacramento Kings acquired all-star Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and Justin Holiday from the Pacers in exchange for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. The 21-year-old Halliburton finished third in Rookie of the Year voting last season and was a steal for the Kings at the 12th pick in the 2020 draft. Sabonis, having his best individual season yet, has two more years under contract at a very team-friendly number, less than $20 million each season. This is clearly a win-now move for the Kings, which is always dangerous when they try to go into win-now mode because they have not made the playoffs since Bonzi Wells was a member of that team in 2006. And it underscores a crucial aspect in this new NBA with teams vying for playoffs instead of tanking. What a novel idea. Marcus, did the Kings jump the gun on this trade? Give me your trade grades for the Kings and the Pacers in this deal.
2 weeks ago, if you would have asked, which of these guards do you part with? How many people say Tyrese Halliburton?
That was a shocker.
Like, nobody says that. Mm-hmm. Nobody says that. And of course, that's the one they give up. Listen, if Sabonis was that good, wouldn't Indiana be good?
Well, wait, hold on. If Tyrese Halliburton was that good, wouldn't the Kings be better?
What you mean? One, just a drastic difference in where they are in their careers. What do you mean?
Kings suck with him on the court. They suck with him off the court. Like, I don't know what to tell you there.
Nah. One is on a rookie scale salary and in his second year. The other is in like his fifth year and he's been through this multiple times and he's on a big deal and probably due for another one. Like, this is just a bad value trade. Period. Maybe. Like, if you just pick the value. So now you have, you're presuming you're going to get rid of Harrison Barnes, right? You got Barnes, Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox. You got three dudes making the top of their salary, and all of them have not shown they can carry a team to the playoffs.
Well, Sabonis is kind of on a discount, man.
Less than 20 million.
Sabonis has been a four seed before or a five seed before. He has carried the Pacers to the playoffs.
Yeah, but in the East when they weren't any good. Jay,
I like Sabonis. I'm just not giving up Halliburton. I'm sorry.
Jay, Tyrese Halliburton reaction. I don't even care what you think of the trade. I just want your reaction to the Tyrese Halliburton Twitter reaction of everyone freaking the bleep out when he got dealt.
Well, first of all, I just want to state for the record,
this ought to be good.
The King screwed up here. And because of Halliburton's contract situation, because of Sabonis' contract situation, this was a loss for Sacramento. They should not have made this trade. It was a bad trade. Mm-hmm. At the same time,
with that said,
people acting like Tyrese Halliburton is the future face of the NBA is just special. People talking about, oh, he shoots 41.3% on pull-up three-pointers. This dude is good. Don't get me wrong. No,
Not pull up three pointers. Just from three, period. All three pointers.
I was getting assaulted with the pull up three stats with all the little advanced analytics. This dude is good. Don't get me wrong. But projecting him to be some superstar is flawed to me. Like, he's not strong enough to get there. He can't really create his own shot. His usage rate is like 18%. Like, that's because he can't do much. Like, that's just what he is. And part of it is probably playing along Fox. But I don't see him ever being like the lead creator for a contender. And people are out there talking about him like he's Michael Jordan. Like, he's Allen Iverson. Like he's the one.
Well, this is
he is the one for the Kings, though.
No,
they don't
he's
have
not.
58
they suck
dudes
when he's on the court.
Up.
They suck when he's off the court.
No,
here's the
but
thing. Look,
when does the
Marcus,
Kings hit the draft? Did you see what Clay went off on him? He's like, sure. Why do we do this? Why are you going off on the Kings?
It's one of the rare times. It's one of the rare times
this
the Kings
is
got
the
a
one
draft
for the
pick.
Kings.
Correct. I'm with you. I agree. Tyrese Halliburton's a good young player.
He's good.
Is he as good as Malcolm Brogdon?
Yes, for the price, dollar for dollar.
No, absolutely. I'm just saying player wise. Malcolm Brogdon.
Player wise, I'll probably take Malcolm, but
okay.
Where will he be in 5 years?
Do you remember when these same Twitter hipsters freaked the fuck out when Milwaukee jettisoned Malcolm Brogdon to Indiana? Like, what are they doing? Now, granted, the Kings don't have a Giannis and they don't have a Chris Middleton. But this idea that they have royally screwed themselves, pun intended, by giving up Halliburton. Look, I think it's hard to replace him, but those dudes exist. They do exist. And so, like, yes, they took a big risk in giving up a rookie scale controlled guy as good as Halliburton for this, but they didn't, like, they just got the best player on their team in this deal. Sabonis is by far the best player on this Kings
team. He's
the
best player.
Now, that's a low bar. And I'm not convinced that
they got the best player
in the
trade.
Yeah.
They got the best player in the trade. Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
Look, it's not great to give up Halliburton, but I'm with Jay on this where it's not the end of the world.
To me, Halliburton is like a juiced up Lonzo.
It's not the end of the world.
That's what he's going to end up being, which is really good. But it's also not going to change your franchise to keep him around like that. Like he wouldn't have led the Kings to salvation.
I think that's the point you're missing, though. It's not that Halliburton is going to change the team. It's that if you have him, you still have room to change the team. if you have Halliburton, no, you ask somebody. Now you can't do that.
Oh,
you can't
do that. They should not have done this trade. I would have dealt Fox way before. I don't agree. They should have still done the trade. It would have been better if they had sent Fox out instead of Halliburton. It would have
been better if they sent Fox.
For sure. Absolutely. But they still got the best player in the trade, and Sabonis is the best player on that team. Now, I'm not a big believer in Sabonis. I think he's a Vucevic 2.0, so that's a whole other discussion.
I'm wondering where he's going to get to this part, by the way.
That's the thing, Marcus, is that we have this thing where now, like, all these Kings fans are talking themselves into. They're like, well, you see what the Bulls did when they traded for Vucevic. Yeah, yes, they had Zach LaVine already on the roster. They didn't have De'Aaron Fox. Right, like this is a there's a big
and then
difference
they added
here.
DeRozan, right?
Yeah,
and they got all these young
now. If
wing
you let
defenders.
Me know if you have an in that Sabonis and Bradley Beal are super tight, and that's going to bring them Bradley Beal in an offseason. Okay, now I'm starting to buy in a little bit. I don't know who Sabonis' allies are outside of like Russ and Vic Oladipo.
I agree. This isn't like the end of the world. The problem is with Tyrese Halliburton and the Kings. You got to envision a new world. That's what it is. Things are changing.
For sure.
They got one, and then now they just go back to the old world where the Kings are a bunch of salary, like, locked squad that's probably will, if they get to the 10 seed, they'll be
peaking. When they've had salary room, they fucked it up. When they've been locked, they fucked it up. Like, you still
that's what's so irritating. Halliburton was the time that they succeeded. That's when they did it right.
Yeah,
and
until
then,
you got to give him $160 million after his contract.
You
for
had
second
2 years
contract.
Before that.
Yeah, they had a lot of time to decide on that dude.
All right.
Nope.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Speaking of help, take four. Help! 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 Help!
I need somebody, help. Not just anybody, help. You know I need someone,
help. Well, not really neighbors, I'm fine, this is for the pod. On Tuesday night, the Lakers were manhandled by... I always worry about that. I'm screaming on this microphone all the time. They must think I'm nuts. On Tuesday night, the Lakers were manhandled by the defending champs. Your boy was there in person watching in the suite, and my goodness, it was terrible. What a terrible energy in that building. Bucks beat them 131-116. Giannis on fire, 44 points, 17 of 20 from the field, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks. Jade, play the tape.
Alan Law. Oh! Dinacumpo with a man's jam!
Following the loss, LeBron acknowledged the roster is not working, and that something must be done to get the team back on course. Jade played that tape.
LeBron, just, I know it's a regular season game, but against the defending champs, does this one just kind of hit different, especially since... You know, you guys were kind of looking up at them when they had a 30-point lead on you guys.
Does it hit different in the sense of what?
Does it tell you something deeper about your team compared to...
Yeah, it tells us we ain't on their level. I mean, I've told you that before the game started.
Do you think you can reach that level?
Where they are right now? I don't know. Do I think we can reach the level where Milwaukee is right now? No. Is that what you want to hear from me? No. Okay. Oh, yeah, you want to follow up? I will hope so, but right now, we can't get to where they are right now. I mean, they're the defending champions for a reason. And I guarantee if you would have asked teams coming out of bubble if they could get to the level that we were playing at, when we won a championship, they said the same thing.
For the second game in a row and third time this season, still head coach, last I checked, Frank Vogel, benched Russell Westbrook down the stretch. The Lakers actually played well during that stretch to cut it to, I don't know, 12, 10 points. It doesn't matter. They were never going to come back in that game. Go figure. There's still a lot of basketball to be played, LeBron said after the game. Fun fact, Tuesday marked the Lakers' 27th different starting lineup in their 55th game. Marcus, it's deja vu all over again. We're all well aware of the struggle that is this 2022 Lakers season. But can they somehow salvage this by making a deal by the end of the deadline on Thursday and bringing the Lakers back to, I won't even say prominence, just not being a joke anymore?
I'm reminded of a certain text message we received. Jay, I think you saw it too, where someone said we were not going to talk about the Lakers ever again.
Hey, man, I didn't write the script.
All right, man, we should
start it next week. Starting next week, no more fucking Lakers talk on this podcast, all right?
First off, they
deserve the Farouk Aminu type strains. Where they should be.
Not until they get five games over 500. That's the next time we're talking about the Lakers on this podcast, all right? Soak it in, Lakers fans. That's it for us.
I don't think they can pull it off, Zach. I don't think – what do they have? What's the barter? Yeah. What's their part of the barter, right?
Taylor Horton Tucker?
I mean, that's it. And clearly, I'm just saying, that hasn't brought the returns people thought, right? Like, I don't know what they. I mean, Malik Monk is probably, but they can't even afford to lose Malik Monk at this point. You like,
Talen Horton Tucker, Malik Monk, and at least one scene in Space Jam 3.
You That's might get De'Aaron Fox out the Kings.
Might get De'Aaron Fox, you know?
Might get De'Aaron Fox. I mean, look, if they might consider Westbrook for John Wall or something.
John looks good in these, agent workouts with Michael Beasley. John looks good. They should call Michael Beasley, man. He looks real good.
Mo Dakil was on Twitter today saying he thinks they should do that. And I'm like, this is where the Lakers are. This dude hasn't even played basketball in a year.
Most trolling, come on. I mean, I was gassed by the videos with Slimmer John Wall getting buckets, but I was like,
he does. He's got bounce. I'm telling you,
John Wall about to be back. Again.
Oh, man.
I think the Lakers will be fine.
What does that mean?
Like, they'll win a playoff series.
What?
I'm giving the Lakers a playoff series. I feel like this is a setup. All of this is a setup. In the NBA playoffs, they're going to win a playoff series. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. LeBron and AD will get...
Marcus, I said this on
Frank
the radio
Vogel
today.
Frank Vogel is top 16 coach of all time. You got to be a gangster to bench Russell Westbrook.
There's no way Marcus believes it.
You got to be a gangster to bench Russ.
Jay, you're right. There's no way he believes this. And also, like I said this on the radio today. I was like, I'm not convinced they could beat the Wolves in a one-off play-in tournament game. That's where the Lakers are at this point.
But they can. And if they get in...
Can they?
Then LeBron.
They got no answers for Anthony Edwards.
No, they got. You know how badly
Giannis
the
had the easiest 44 points in NBA history.
That was insane to me. It looked like a pro am.
They don't even want to try. That's what I'm saying.
Has LeBron ever sounded this defeated?
No, he's never sounded like
this. This dude has gone up against the greatest teams of all time and has been like, yo.
He was down 3-1 to the Warriors like, fuck that, I got this. What are you talking about?
We've seen him with
and
shitty
now he's gotta,
supporting
he's
cast
get past
before.
The Clippers in the play, and he's like, I don't think we got it, guys.
And he wasn't like on an all-star team back then either, right? Like this dude had like J.R. Smith.
We've seen him with super shitty supporting casts. And be like, and call out the supporting cast and say they need changes. We've seen him drag like Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance and Kevin Love to the, like broken down Kevin Love a little bit to the finals. We've seen him do some magnificent stuff. And he looks around now and he's like,
do I think we can reach the level where Milwaukee is right now? No. Is that what you want to hear from me?
Motherfucker, we are not ever going to be as good
Jay,
as the Bucks.
He said it next to Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Like, did you see Anthony Davis? He looked just sullen like, damn.
He said right next to him. Like, yo,
LeBron doesn't even believe. Hold on, let me check the Lobos Tequila site, see what their promotion schedule is in May, because I think it's wide open right now. They got a bunch of stuff getting booked up.
If they were any other team,
welcome for the free promo there, LeBron, by the way. Send me a bottle.
If it wasn't LeBron, if it was any other team, we'd be wondering what LeBron was going to fetch on the trade market. We'd be wondering what Anthony Davis was going to fetch on the trade market. We'd be talking about blowing them up. Mm-hmm. The only reason we're not is because it's LeBron. And that's
why I'm saying they're going to win a playoff series, because of LeBron.
And so people are like, man, they got to deal Russell Westbrook for John Wall. Like they people, should it's probably Modacchio. Be thinking
don't
bigger
say
than
people.
That.
Modacchio said it's not people saying this.
Was Mo serious, though?
You guys brought it up, too.
I think Mo is serious. I think
he was kind of serious and like, they should at least consider it, which, maybe they should.
Go on Instagram, check out the, what is it, Taylor Group or whatever. Just go check out the videos. He and B-Easy are balling right now.
But you can really think you that team thinks it's done. Like Russ is out there making noise about not being on the court during crunch time.
Yo, he's like, over there like laughing. Like he's
like, sorry, I can't be out there to help you guys
in crunch time. My call. Yeah, that ain't my call.
Like, bro, first of all, you're down like 30. There is no crunch time.
Also, they were down when you were on. You played 26 minutes in that game. You got your asses kicked. Like,
you're launching Frank Vogel off the side of the backboard. You're missing layups.
Frank Vogel, right? Top 15 coach of all time. They got to redo the rankings. That dude bench Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, get out of here.
That's one of the most gangster moves of all time.
Speaking of meaningless spectacles, Take Five. The NBA announced the participants for the three events that will take place Saturday, All-Star Weekend in Cleveland. 3-point contest, slam dunk contest, and a revamped skills challenge that will feature three teams of three players, including every Antetokounmpo brother they can find to just try to get all these guys into the NBA next to Giannis. The NBA will crown a first-time winner in both the dunk and the 3-point contest. Cole Anthony, Jalen Green, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and Obi Toppin will take place in the dunk competition. Obi is the only returning participant. He was last year's runner-up. Meanwhile, Zach LaVine will make his third consecutive bid to win the 3-point contest. Trae Young will make his second career appearance. And the rest of the 8-person field will be participating for the first time. CJ McCollum, Carl Anthony Towns, Fred VanVleet, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, and Patty Mills. So, Marcus, who you got for the 3-point contest?
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called 6 Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make 6 Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm going with watch Luke Kennard win this thing. Well, watch Luke Kennard. That's going to be some random dude like that. But Fred VanVleet.
Go with
Fred VanVleet.
I tried to tell people about these Raptors, man. No one listened to me. Now look at them. Charging.
Fred VanVleet, I got him. I got Fred VanVleet winning it. By the way, did the Antetokounmpo brothers, did they get Miren Fader in there? I feel like she should be part of the skills challenge too, since she wrote
me started about the skills challenge. That is the dumbest fucking decision of all time. Are we serious? We got Alex Antetokounmpo in the fucking skills challenge. We got Thanasis Antetokounmpo in the skills. We got Jared Allen in the skills challenge. Like, I'm sure it'll be a great moment for the three brothers to compete together on All-Star Weekend. But for every single other person in the world, it is horrible. It is so dumb. They took the worst event in All-Star game history, any All-Star game, football, whatever, any All-Star game, and they somehow found a way to make it worse. We've got two of the least skilled dudes in North America competing in the skills challenge.
Because their brother's good. That's why.
Yes, we're going to celebrate brotherhood. We're going to celebrate Nigerian ancestry and Black History Month. That's what this is all about.
I think the King brothers would have a chance against the Antetokounmpo.
My only question is,
we really would.
By the way, Jay got scared by a guy dressed as a Bush in Sacramento. Now he's talking shit like he and his brothers can win.
Yo, the Bush dude is crazy. He really dresses as a Bush and hops out at people out in Sacramento. And it's a normal thing.
And you were like, going to fight him. More on that.
I was so mad.
More on that on Monday's Basket Buds edition as we dive deep into this Bush controversy with Jay King in Sacramento. All right. Who do you guys have for the dunk contest? Jay, I know you're not going with Cole Anthony, but who do you have for the dunk contest?
I mean, it's definitely going to be Jalen Green. I don't think there's any doubt.
Ooh, no Obi Toppin?
Jalen Green. Obi Toppin's too tall.
All of you are wrong.
He's one of the too tall dudes.
Boy, here we go.
All of you are wrong. It's town biz, baby. We going with Oakland's finest. Too short gonna come out. He's jumping over too short. Yeah, let's go. Juan Toscano-Anderson will win the dunk contest. He's gonna pull up. Y'all sleep on Juan Anderson from Castro Valley, baby.
You know what? I sure am sleeping on it. I do not think he's gonna
go to YouTube and check out Juan.
The only thing he jumps over is the chairs on the sideline while he's diving after a loose ball.
That's all he got to do is turn it into a hustle play.
We'd never see him do it, though. That's the thing that's confusing to me.
Ask JaVale McGee about that.
Everybody dunks on JaVale McGee. What are you talking about?
There wasn't anybody else in the NBA willing to do it. Like, what number on the list was Juan Toscano-Anderson? That's what I want to know. Like,
I really think that JaVale McGee did it. I think they saw him dunk on JaVale McGee. He was like, hey, he got some hops.
What number is he on the list just of Warriors players? Not just on the NBA list. Like, hey,
Jonathan Kuminga is number one on the list.
They asked Wig, and Wig won't do it. You know they asked Kuminga. You know they asked Gary Payton the second, right? Or did they go to Juan before GP?
They probably went to Juan.
I'd rather see
GP,
Steph in it.
Steph at a trampoline.
Hold on. Why don't we have a skills competition with Steph Curry, Seth Curry, and Damian Lee?
That's what I said. Yeah, where's Steph and Dame?
Yeah.
Even throw Dell in there.
Yeah, let Dell do it. Who cares?
They've done that before, right? Steph and Dell. Maybe they're tired of the Currys.
Man, what was that? What was it? Two ball or whatever? What was that?
Yeah,
that shootout that they had. Man, that was fun.
Yeah, what happens to that with the WNBA player, right?
It just always turned into Chris Bosh shooting half-court shots. That's all it ever was. But I could watch that. I'd rather watch that than whatever this skills competition is going to be.
Honestly, if you had the three Plumleys out there, like, they would be just as
who would
much
win
skill
out of the Plumleys?
As Antetokounmpo,
you know,
besides Giannis.
Who's gonna win?
Mason's pretty skilled, okay? Like, Mason Plumlee is way more skilled than people give him credit for. But you can't risk the Plumleys dominating that weekend. You just can't. I get it.
Not in February.
Not in February. It's just not.
Nassus,
it's not okay.
Man. The Nassus.
The Nassus is time.
By the way, today on Thursday, if you want some real-time trade deadline analysis, head on over to the Athletics YouTube channel. We'll be there kicking off this trade deadline, breaking down all the crazy deals. James Harden is a Net or is he a Sixer? You'll find out on the trade deadline live stream on youtube.com/theathletic. I think that's the website, but just go to youtube.com. There's a search bar at the top. You type in The Athletic. It's going to come up. You click on it. You subscribe. You check out all the videos, including the live stream. Lots of fun guests. Lots of fun analysis there. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on The Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Blue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, Michelle Beadle's podcast. What did I miss with Michelle Beadle? For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jane Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Hopefully you don't get traded today.
I won't do it. I won't do it.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. $50, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.